Hello, hello, hello. God damn, god damn. Guys, this is Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. I'm Emily Rose with a little message before we get into this episode today. I have Rob Schulte of Vanderpump Robs on. We talk about his experience with sobriety, his journey, and how that impacts his watching the show, how it impacts living in LA, partying in LA, and what that looks like after sobriety, and of course all of his thoughts on Vanderpump Rules. But before we get there, if you haven't heard the big announcement, Lindsay Lime of Vanderpod Recaps and I are going to LA. That's Los Angeles, baby, because we will be going to Rob Schulte's live show with Molly McAleer of Trend Lightly Podcast. And we will be doing this on March 30th, the day before my birthday. So it's a bit of a birthday trip, bit of a lifetime opportunity, because I have literally always wanted to go back to LA since the last time I was there when I was a teenager. And we want to do all of the things. We want to experience Vanderpump Row, but both of us also have a lot of interest and investment in other things going on in LA and entertainment and pop culture. So if you would like to donate to the cause, if you want to support me or support Lindsay, she will be helping me recap Vanderpump Rules for the foreseeable future. So if you want to help us get to LA, make our dreams come true, then you can go in the show notes of this episode. You will find my Buy Me a Coffee, my Venmo, Lindsay's Buy Me a Coffee, Lindsay's Venmo, and tickets to Rob Schulte's live show in case you're in town or around and want to come out and see us and him and Molly. It's going to be a great time. And I know some of you are not familiar with Buy Me a Coffee. I actually just realized that I had been doing it wrong. So if you go to the link, you'll see it's much easier. You can just donate $5, $10, whatever you have, in as many quantities or as little as you want. Much easier than it was before. So, and believe you me, I completely understand if you are not able to do that. Please understand, I completely understand. So don't feel obligated, just something, just an option. And if you want to still support, but you're not really in a place to donate, just give the episode a listen and enjoy and give me feedback. Rob talks about it in this episode. I want constructive criticism. I also enjoy compliments. So if you don't have anything, criticizing to say, don't worry. You can totally just compliment me and I will take it in stride. No, but really, I really appreciate you guys. You guys have shown me just so much support in the past month or so. And I really love you guys. I really appreciate you. I hope you keep listening. If not, Lindsay's got a great Instagram and Reddit and all of those things where she recaps all of the Vanderpump Rules podcasts. So all of the cast and tangential people, she does that. I also want to give a quick trigger warning. We do talk about, like I said, sobriety. We touch a little bit on the James allegations. If you've been listening, you can probably expect that we will be talking about it. We'll certainly be talking about it more with Lindsay. Those episodes will be out on Saturdays. And since I'm here, I will be on Is This Real Life with Mandy Sletzker. I will be on her podcast, I believe, either this week or next. So stay tuned for that. And I think that about wraps it up. So I love you guys. Enjoy the episode. Bye. Hello, hello, hello. This is Who the Fuck Knows with Emily Rose. I'm Emily Rose. And today, you all, I have a very special guest with a very special Vanderpump Rules related topic. But before we get into it, please welcome Rob Schulte of Vanderpump Robs. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing terrific. Thank you for having me. I'm just looking, what I was thinking about. You got some very constructive. I'm a podcaster. I dive into it. Yeah. You got constructive Apple reviews the other day, and I was noticing that, and I was like, damn, she like said she wanted them, and the audience came and gave them.
Oh, and I haven't like, read
And I just
yet.
Like, well, oh, you know, no. You had said like constructive criticism, you know, like, hey, what do you like? Yeah. What do you want more of? Whatever. And then you really read it on the podcast. Yeah. I will say in every episode, like, hey, if you can't join the Patreon, leave me a 5-star review on Apple. And it is like pulling teeth.
Oh, yeah.
To get them. But you did a call. They left it. They followed the rules. It was great. Because as we all know, if you want to give less than 5 stars, instead, the audience should go to a different podcast they do like and get 5 stars at that one, because that's all that needs to happen. But anyway,
yeah,
that's
no,
just
I agree.
Something that I was thinking about the other day when I saw your post about that. Yeah, it was cool.
It was really just, I just wanted to give people an opportunity if they were going to, you know, be bitchy. I just wanted them to, for sure, just give me 5 stars because, yeah. You know, everyone has their opinions. Everyone has their good days. And, you know, I certainly have my bad days. So totally fine. And, if, you know,
the internet sure loves to police women's voices.
They really do.
When we should really be policing Tom Sandoval's interviews. But
we should strip him.
Maybe not policing. Maybe that's the wrong.
No, definitely the wrong term. Not that he would know anything about it, yeah. Because he lives in a world where his cheating scandal is equivalent to the impact on society and culture of the murder and injustice of police brutality against black and brown people in America. And so he's not with us. Is a probably way too generous for me to put it, but it is really hard to put into words how frustrating that was.
Yeah. Well, at least he got his Notes app apology out of the way early. So,
yeah, no way he wrote that, but for sure.
He spelled embarrassed correctly, so I don't.
Oh yeah, no, totally not him. Totally not him. And we're going to talk about him in just a minute. Before we do, Rob, you have something exciting to share with my audience. So why don't you go ahead and let us know what's up?
Yes, on March 30th, 2024. So if you're listening to this after that, everyone, too damn late. But yeah, there'll be another one. My friend Molly McAleer and I will be having a live podcast called Rob and Molly's Special Interest Society. Mm-hmm. Rob and Molly's Special Interest Society. Molly hosts multiple platforms. This live event will most likely be taking the form of her podcast, Trend Lightly, as well as my podcast, Vanderpump Rob's.
Woo!
And we're going to have some special guests. Some you may know from this podcast. Some you may know from other arts of pop culture, and we're going to, at least on my side of things, talk about a very iconic episode of Vanderpump Rob's, or Vanderpump Rules. Every episode is an iconic episode.
Every
of Vanderpump Rob's.
Yes.
So if people would like to buy tickets to this, if they're in the Southern California area, you can go to the Vanderpump Rob's Instagram, and the ticket link is in my bio. $15 in advance, or $20 day of, or if you shell out $35, you can do a little meet and greet. Meet me, the man behind the mic. And I even just ordered some new t-shirts that I will be giving away to meet and greet.
The t-shirts guys are a brilliant pop culture crossover. If you guys, you'll know when you see them that it's just fantastic. So don't hesitate. Also, if you want to, because I will actually be at the show. I will be taking a trip from Atlanta to Los Angeles. My friend Lindsay of Vanderpod Recaps, you guys definitely know her and love her. She and I will be meeting up in LA and staying together. And our first thing on our to-do list is going to Vanderpump Rob's show with Molly McAleer of Trend Lightly, and we're so excited. So if you guys just are dying to meet me, I will be there in some capacity.
It's going to be great, and I think we're all born for the stage, so hopefully we have a great time talking about things.
And the ticket link is in my show notes as well, you all, and it was on my last episode too. So you guys, if you don't have the time, if you just don't have the time to go to his, you can go in my show notes and go get a ticket from me as well.
People helping people. I love
it. There we go.
Yes.
So I have Rob here today to talk about something that, interestingly enough, Rob, you and I spoke about my idea of having you on for this subject a few weeks ago. And interestingly enough, this has become an even stronger theme on Vanderpump Rules is sobriety. Rob, you're sober. And I definitely want to get into your sobriety journey and how it has shaped you and what you're comfortable sharing about it.
Sure.
And so let's just get started. Tell us about your journey.
Okay. When I was 7, no, I'm just kidding. that could be for some people, not for me. One sec. I am just about 2 years sober. So,
oh, wow.
You know, it's not a like a life defining, I mean, it is a life defining thing for me, but it's only a recent thing I've come to, because mm-hmm. when I was in college, I just partied really hard, but it was like one of those things, you know, a lot of people party hard in college. Right. And as I grew older, like I graduated during the 2009 financial crisis. And so oh, wow. I didn't really get to move out of my college town.
Right.
And there were no jobs, and living in a town that's basically, you either get a job at the university,
yep.
the garage door factory, the sure. call center, or service industry.
Yeah.
And my dad owned bars. I worked in bars and venues.
Right.
And when you work in the service industry in a small town like that, you're pretty much just like trading your tips from one bartender to the next server to whatever.
Yep.
So there was really like a circling the drain bit for me for many years until mm-hmm. I lucked into a job that was like a manager of a coffee shop. And I see that's when I kind of started getting my shit together. Wasn't yeah. partying as much. I had more responsibility, but I was still any chance you get, there's not yeah. a lot to do, you know, you're going to do the things that make you feel good.
Yeah.
Forgetting that like it ultimately would make me feel bad.
Yes.
And then I moved to New York on a whim to try and get a job in podcasting. And I did. And it took some time. While I was in New York, I was still like drinking, but not drinking to excess. You know, I was saving money. I was doing this sort of stuff. Didn't feel like much of a problem. And it really wasn't. Like once I got out of like the depression hole, the circling the drain of small town life journey, I got more confidence. I was doing what I wanted to do. I was, you know, doing these things, but like, didn't quite click to me that I was still using like drugs and alcohol as like a crutch, right? It yeah. just felt like now it was like an activity, like a fun thing to do because I kind of was getting my shit together. And then I took a job that moved me to California where, you know, pot is legal and right. it was much easier to get than in, you know, door-to-door services in New York. And yeah. But during lockdown, I was still in New York, just to take a step back. And like, there's a lot of times drinking was about the only thing to do because I was in a one bedroom, highly densely populated area.
Oh, for sure.
And so when I went to California, that kind of spilled over. Like I just got used to like drinking most days and still really wasn't out of control, but like, there was one day though that like I, funnily enough, went out with Peter Madrigal to get brunch. Oh. And then we got cigars and then we went to this other place. It was just one of those days where we were like brainstorming ideas for the podcast at the time, yeah. Madrigal at the movies. We were having a great time. It was fun. It was not like a problem.
Right.
I don't actually know if I like got dosed or, you know, West Hollywood, you never know. There was like a thing going on around the time where like other people had reported stuff like that. I'm not saying that I actually did, but like I got in a haze that I had not experienced ever before in my life. Right. Like,
yeah,
I woke up on Peter's couch. They had called my girlfriend to come pick me up. It's like 8 o'clock. Right.
Yeah.
Like, it is not like 3 like in the 4 morning. 4 a.m.
Right.
Yeah. It was like 8 o'clock. And, and I don't really remember much, but like, you know, they got me in the car. I went home. You know, that's always embarrassing to be like in your 30s and like, you know, it's just silly. And I woke up in the middle of the night just like what the hell? Like what happened? And I just immediately was like, it's kind of like what Lala had said in episode 4 of this season, where she's like, everyone's like, she's calling it rock bottom. And that's terminology they use in like the AA program. But like, it's not like I destroyed my life or anything, or I like committed some huge embarrassing act or something like that. I just realized like I had stopped being in control.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of mine is like my brother, who unfortunately passed away due to alcohol, mm-hmm. also had like addiction issues. And I think mm-hmm. there's just something that like, you know, is genetic or whatever.
It is. Sure. And, yeah.
And I realized like, well, I just got like a job that moved me out here. And I'm like if I looked at myself 10 years ago, I'm like, this is the life I wanted, right? Yeah. Like they paid mm-hmm. me to move to LA. I'm working in the industry I want to work in. I'm doing all this fun stuff. Why the hell mm-hmm. would I want to fuck it up or risk it, you know, yeah. by continuing down a path that like, if anyone I worked with would happen to have been in West Hollywood that day, like, I don't remember exactly, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, Peter verified that, like, he didn't even know I was that fucked up. You know what right, I mean? Like, he was like, you were acting fine, and then you yeah. passed out on my couch. But, like, yeah. it could have gone the other way. You know, I could have gotten someone's car. I could have done anything crazy. Sure.
You could have said some shit. You don't
yeah,
know.
I, yeah, you never know. And, like, I could have gotten in a fight. I could have, like, took off my chunky sweater in a parking lot and right. tried to fight Frank.
Right.
But I didn't, thank God. Right. And yes. But that was the point where I was just like, you know what? I know a friend of mine who's in the program. I'm just going to call him and like talk to him about it. And then yeah. he essentially just went into this like, well, you know, maybe you are, maybe you aren't, you yeah. know, but like I decided to go to some meetings and here I am today, 2 years later. And I am fine drinking mocktails.
Wow. Well, first yeah. of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Second of all, you hit on so many things that I wanted to talk to you about. And yeah. actually, the first thing was when Lala said on last night's episode that I think she was implying that everyone, quote unquote, has a moment that that's their rock bottom, I guess, mm-hmm. is what she was implying, or that that's the moment that they get sober. For her, it was kind of all within a 3-day span, I think, is what she was saying. And this is all in reference, of course, to James Kennedy, mm-hmm. who we've seen on the show struggle with sobriety. And it's interesting because when I was trying to figure out the questions I wanted to ask and the things about Vanderpump Rules is that we're in the service industry, right? Of course, it's centering around a bar, a series of bars. Uh-huh. And so the idea of being drunk, drinking, perhaps partaking in other things mm-hmm. is ever present, but never really truly addressed.
Yeah.
Even it felt like with Lala, it didn't feel like she was immediately kind of telling us exactly why she yeah. was sober. That kind of took a little while for her to kind of come out with her story. And so I don't want to say that it was a joke, but there's always been an underlying tone of kind of downplaying it. Oh, well, you know, they're in the service industry and that's what people do. But when you look back on it, their behavior when they're drunk, as is my behavior sometimes when I'm drunk, and I'm sure, like you said, you had those moments when before you were sober. And you think about things like little things like Tequila Katie. Mm-hmm. Katie would imbibe in something, perhaps tequila, perhaps something else. And she would send rage text, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Stassi's dark passenger, where, you know, that's the other side of her that comes out when, you know, we find out later she's hopped up on Adderall. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But also when she's like jealous, but she leads with it being jealousy when in reality we learn it's really about her alcohol and Adderall problems.
Yeah.
And then you have Schwartz, who's a makeout slut when he's drunk and like just casual cheating, you know, nothing, mm-hmm. nothing to worry about, or blacking out and ending up at another resort somewhere. And that story is fodder for a lot of different theories. I don't particularly believe the one that they are telling us on the show. So there's a lot of darkness around this issue of sobriety, and we really only confront it seemingly with James, because even Lala kind of took control of her own narrative, whereas James does not seem to have control of his narrative.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
Just to, you know, everyone has their own journey or whatever.
Sure.
And I say it like that because it becomes hokey sometimes when you hear, you know, pseudo science, pseudo therapeutic pop psychology stuff, mm-hmm. you know, about this sort of thing. And it's interesting that it always revolves around James, and like being that, like, you know, I have my, I don't think there's a perfect way to like work the AA program. I think there's a lot of like also things that are questioned about the AA program.
Validly.
I get it.
Right.
But I do think that we are like in a spot where there's not a lot of options.
Right.
For people who are addicts. And I think the hard thing is that like you do face this sort of thing, and it is such a like all-encompassing thing that you like don't want to be defined by something, right? You don't want to be like, I am an alcoholic. But there's also a bigger thing with people on this show, and not even just James, but like they don't want to admit anything, like the anything that like makes them seem less than, like they can't confront, like what we see on the show, it's like hard for them to confront their own faults. Like there's a lot of defensiveness. And so to think that we would ever actually get James going to a meeting like Laura Lee or something is just beyond anything I believe would actually happen, because James also isn't ready to, from what we see on the show, ready to confront things openly, honestly, that are by his own doing,
right?
We still get him a lot of times saying, you know, like, I did that because I was drunk, which, sure, okay. But like, you're not also like confronting, you know, a lot of times they say like, alcohol is like 10% of the problem. The other problem is like the 90% of like, why you do drink to excess, right? Like, what is going on that is making you have to have more than two? More than three, more than four, you know? And I don't like that it's like James's story, and that like, even now in this season, I got a lot of problems with season 11 so far. But like, you know, what we see is like this like clean James getting his life together with his house, when like, obviously like Allie does not like him. He does not like himself. You know, it's true though.
It's it's so apparent that
that's what we're
like,
getting, you know?
He
doesn't like himself. You know, this most recent episode, he's like, you know, I started drinking again because of the comments and this, and then we get in a fight. And like, when I got sober the first time, it was because I was given an ultimatum from Rachel. But this time I'm doing it for myself. But it just so happened to be after I got in a huge blow up with Allie and she left me for 2 days. Like, so are you doing it for yourself? And like, and it's not me to like dictate his journey, but like, we get a lot of contradicting statements from him when it is true. Like, think what you want about James. I happen to not think he's a very good like person from what we've told, with Kristen's book, all that sort of stuff. But what he is struggling. And you know, you can say the same thing about Sandoval. He is struggling. Did they make their bed? Absolutely. But that doesn't, like, both things can be, can exist at once, right? They are struggling with something, and I still like to watch the show for entertainment value, but when you do start looking at things critically, you see that like James's storyline is he is struggling and we are trying to put a coat of paint over it.
I completely agree, and I think it's interesting too, because a lot of critique about this season so far, some of it, because there is so much critique, one thing that people have been saying is, well, a bunch of these people are sober. Lala's sober. James is sober. I'm putting that in quotes because
it's not drinking right now.
He's not drinking right now. Then you have Sheena's not drinking right now. Who else? There was somebody else. It's not. Oh, at this point, Sandoval was also abstaining, I believe, from alcohol.
But not mushrooms. And,
but right. And this comes into this conversation this season about these like quasi sobriety, this terminology, and sober curious, California sober, which means, I think is interesting. I want to hear your opinion on this, because I think the original wide definition of California sober originally was like sober from everything, but you smoke weed. But now I'm starting to feel like California sober is meant to just say like not drinking, abstaining from alcohol specifically, but other things are on the table. And I'm not talking about like prescription meds for like psychological or antipsychotic or anything. Like I take those things. But so that's not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about hallucinogens, powders, other kinds of pills that they seem to still be participating in. And I think it's also interesting because I just did a rewatch of season 9 on a whim.
Oh, wow.
And that's, I know, but it actually is really fascinating. I thought about doing, an episode by episode recap.
Is that COVID season, right?
So it's like coming out of COVID.
Still restricted filming, essentially.
Yes. So it was very odd. But one thing that was interesting to me is that James that season was not drinking. He was abstaining from alcohol, but he was, there's a scene where he's like, oh, I still smoke weed every day, mate. Mm-hmm. So he's smoking weed every day. This is also the season where some things go on between him and Rachel that are less than savory, in my opinion. To your point that there is a problem beneath the alcohol and drug use that needs to be addressed. And some behaviors are not solely because of drinking, which seems to kind of be the narrative that is seeming to be put out there. And there's a lot of narratives that seem to be driven by, I don't know, production, the media. I'm unclear, but that is a big problem this season. And also apparently on during season 9, a witness at one of the museums that they were at for Ariana's birthday overheard them talking about like a new type of Adderall that they were on.
Meth.
I mean, yeah. And literally, and I looked it up and it's a thing. And that wouldn't surprise me because oftentimes Bravo shows the kids will cop to Adderall and Xanax, but other things, not so much.
But how old are these people? You know what I mean? And I'm not saying like addiction has an age restriction, but like there's something about like, you know, I think we've talked about this offline before, so take this or leave it. But like, there's something about like the audience feeding into part of the problem.
Yes.
And I think that's not necessarily always true, but I think like, you know, they see this shit. James talks about the comments. They do, you know, he uses that as like a reason to why he started drinking again. But I'm kind of all over the place. Really, like the thing that they haven't had to, what we see on the screen, these people on the screen haven't had to learn any lessons, really.
Right.
And they haven't had to grow up, and they haven't had to, and I'm not trying to call them like whippersnappers or anything, but like, there's also a certain point in time where you get like, I'm almost Tom Sandoval's age. I can never quite triangulate how old he is.
Right. But
but I'm almost that age. And it's like, what on earth are you doing, man? Like, why would you party that hard? Like, don't you want to like relax?
Yeah.
Like, don't you want to like chill, man? Like seeing Ariana before the scam of those IVs, like were shown on screen, like she looked dead on the couch. Like, why, why do you want to do that? Like, and I guess when you don't have anything else to do, like, cool, you know, but like, I got a lot of shit to do. And so like, I don't have time to be hungover all Saturday, you know, I don't like, and that's just one thing. That's not even like being addicted to it. And so like, when we see these people like aging, it's like so sad to be like, I don't know about you, but like when I was younger and like went to like, not maybe not the club, but like, you know, an event where like things were happening, you're mingling with people, like, and then you see like the 40-year-old dude there, you're like, what are you, who is doing? This guy? Like, what are you doing? Like, get out of here, weirdo. And like, they may not have been weird at all, but like, you, you recognize that like, this is a spot for an age group.
Right.
And you are out of place in it.
Yes.
So I don't understand why the partying needs to continue, but it is.
Well, they're definitely stuck in a cycle. And I think it's interesting what you're saying about their activity and what they have to do, because to be fair, this is like just being filmed, not just, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to downplay that it's an excruciating idea to have cameras following you around, especially under the pressure that this particular group of people were under at the time this season. But yeah, it's a little difficult for, like, I started realizing when I finally kind of came out of my like depression era mm-hmm. recently and really started to try to be a little more consistent, a little more active with the podcasting, I was like, oh yeah, no, I can't like go out and drink on Friday and Saturday and then expect to be available to record on Sunday. It's not going to happen because I am older and I do experience drinking and anything else.
And that's a lot harder, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's you. And yeah. I'm similar in that sense. Like if I were to still be drinking, it's like, it just ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, and someone else might be able to do that. Right.
Yes. Yeah, so the truth.
Someone else could do that.
Yeah.
But we do have to look at the fact that, like, you know, bodies don't bounce back and mm-hmm. as fast the older you get. And yep. it's just, you know, it's just mind boggling to me. You know, like my sober journey is my journey, right? Like it is not equated to anyone else's,
yeah.
which is kind of what Lala says too in the show. And that's, you know, we can nitpick here and there about certain things. And I've said it on my podcast. You've said it on yours. But like, yeah. at the end of the day, she's trying to do what she's trying to do. I think that objectively, maybe not objectively at all, maybe subjectively, what I'm thinking is that like she probably recently in episodes, I'm seeing more honesty from her, at least when she's giving to the camera.
Yes.
I think in the past there was a lot more, like I would, you know, it's not my place to say, but if I were to say something that feels more like being a dry drunk, which is like someone who has stopped drinking alcohol, but isn't like actively working on the reasons why they were drinking alcohol. So they're still like kind of angry or frustrated or whatever. So when she says that, like, she's learning to forgive again and she doesn't need to be the dog in everyone's fight, it's like, oh, that feels like growth. That
yes,
like
it demonstrating did.
Growth. So
it was a little jarring for me.
Yeah. But I do think, yeah, very much so. But I do think, like, you know, sober curious is silly, but, you know, if someone wants to see what their life is like without alcohol, if they think it's an issue, like if that's one step closer to getting them to where they need to be, sure. Schwartz doesn't need to do this scam of nootropics either. Oh, like God, I will call out scams every single time I see them.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I've said this on my podcast, but I do think, like, when he was passing around the nootropics and Allie was just like, I've been wondering about sober curiosity too. I was like, that there's Allie not being a cast member. She's like, you just can't live in this circle. I'm sorry. Like you're just, you are not for this show.
No,
I don't want to be like gang up on Allie, but it is, there's a very definite scene that resonated with me a bit.
She's something else. That's mm-hmm. for sure. She's taken a break from drinking in support of James taking a break from drinking, which I don't know. I've never,
but she's drinking on the show.
Right.
So like, yeah.
And when Sheena did that with Shay, arguably maybe not some of her best choices.
Sure. Well, neither was Shay. So.
Neither was Shay. So it's just
got me running crazy.
So actually I wanted to get your opinion on this too, because last week's episode, Lala and Ariana filmed a scene which was fucking unnecessary and very not my vibe, but whatever.
To be clear,
you may
be the typical dude for a second and
totally
comment on your episode with Lindsay.
Oh yeah, please.
The point of that scene, which I don't think they actually reached, was them planning to go to See You Next Tuesday.
Because okay.
They were talking about what are we going to wear?
Okay.
Who's all going?
Okay.
It's when Lala was like, yeah, I would drip myself in latex if I had your body.
Yeah.
And, But there is that one moment, it gets muddled by the scene, that, by the part that you're talking about,
yeah,
where they start bringing up James's sobriety, which is, it was weird. Let's well, just put you're, it that way.
Thank you for saying that, because if you listen to the episode, you know, I struggled to understand why the hell we were watching that. But
I was on a long drive that day, and when I have nothing, no one else to talk or anything else like distracting me besides having my hands on 10 and 2 and
right,
paying complete attention
and driving
to the road.
The literal speed limit. Yeah, yes, for sure. Five under.
I was like, I got no one to talk to here, but like, no, they were talking about see you next Tuesday.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I appreciate that. Leave a 5-star review with that constructive criticism, please, course. Rob.
So, no, that wasn't criticism. I was just trying to help guide why that seemed so out of place, because it was a swing and a miss on production there.
It really was. And then something, the conversation around James's sobriety, I believe it's Ariana says, well, she can't tell James what to do or can't. I think it was Ariana that said
it
that.
It was something like, she was like, I like him better sober.
Yeah.
Okay. And then she was like, but I don't feel comfortable saying that to him. And Lala was like, yeah, I'm glad you said that, because you shouldn't. And I don't even feel comfortable saying it to him. Cut to next episode where she says it to him. But
right. Well, that's Lala.
Yeah. And I don't think that's fair. I think you all both covered it pretty well, because there's like a spectrum of things you can talk to people who are in your inner circle. Do I think Ariana and James are that close? No. But they do work together, and they do like go to pool parties together. And I think that if she was just like, if something happened and she was just like, dude, I think you're a little bit better off, like, I don't like being around this James.
That's what you mean, like, if he, like, chugs a CBD drink and then about sets the house on fire, like, something like that, or...
Dude, he was acting like a fucking 14-year-old at this party. Also, James, are we supposed to celebrate you going to Target? Like, that's what people do, man.
People go grocery
shopping.
Sir, you might have a house now, but you've lived in an apartment. You used to live with like an 80-year-old roommate or something. You're telling me you've never had to grocery shop before? Yeah, like, what is this? What are you doing?
Shop for more than himself and his girlfriend.
Like,
that just happens, dude. Like, we're not going to celebrate. Anyway, but this is all part of like that James thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, James needs constant validation.
Yes.
And I think that is one, you know, like, I'm not trying to armchair analyze him too much. I mean, I'm sure everyone can go back and point out all the moments that I am. But I think that, like, it goes back to this idea of him struggling, right? Yeah. Like, that's not a talking point that you spent $2,000 on a party. You know, that grill was probably $1,000, right? Yeah. Okay, cool. Then you bought some towels, and I'm sure you didn't buy the cheap ones.
Right.
And then you bought a bunch of corn and veggies and hot dogs and drinks. Like, cool, you got stuff. It just seems so interesting that, like, they're in this like era of like learning what it's like to be an adult. And, you know, I think to the valley where the tagline is like, let's give adulting a try or whatever. And it's like, yeah, these people, Jackson was 50.
Dude.
Like, y'all are adults. Yeah. And like, James, you might be 31, but you're an adult. Like, granted, did I have my shit together at 31? No. But could I buy a house? Absolutely not.
I cannot.
But like, it is one of those things where it's like, you still, that's kind of the age where you kind of start pulling it together that, you know, you can't be celebrated for doing the menial tasks
at all. Like,
isn't there some sort of like thing about like you don't celebrate your partner for doing the things they're supposed to do?
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, your threshold needs to be a little higher.
Yeah.
And his life threshold is low. Also, because as to your point earlier, that his consequences have been very soft consequences. Mm-hmm. And that's also been, in my opinion, I'm starting to really digest this now, because I think I've been in a little bit of denial.
Mm.
the role that Lisa Vanderpump plays, particularly in the life of the men on the show, particularly in the direction of the show. It's funny because on Southern Charm, Whitney being a producer comes up a lot, and in the fandom, you know, with the cast, even more so the past couple of years. Whereas with Lisa Vanderpump, it's like, well, we don't talk about her being a producer so much because her name is on the show. So we just kind of take it for granted that she, you know, it's her show. It's her show. Mm-hmm. But she does have decision making, I'm assuming, in some piece of production. And so this, okay, well, we fire them from the establishment, but not really. Or we're firing them from the show, but not really, because he can be fired from Sir every other Tuesday. No reference intended.
But
then you're still filming him for the show. So he's not actually losing a job due to his behavior.
He's still opening up for Cascade.
He's still touring in Charleston. Shout out Southern Hospitality. Mm-hmm. Great show if you guys aren't watching. So I think with him, he hasn't learned hard lessons as a result of his behavior when it comes to his life from the show. Now, that's not to say he hasn't had a hard childhood or he hasn't had a hard life. What hasn't been hard for him ever. I'm not going to say that. His parents, I have to assume, he's had a rough go of it. But I think like at this point, you're lying to us and to yourself. And it's not making for very good reality television, because what are you doing here? And why are you behaving this way? Well, first of all, he's not totally sober. So that might be part of it. And I was wondering, so you did not become sober until after you were living in LA. Mm-hmm. Did you watch Vanderpump Rules before you moved out here? There?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was making avocado pita ritas during lockdown when he taught us on his Instagram lives. That is what it is. Like, to me, when I think about it, like, yeah, I do think that I have, like, I don't really have control. I have an alcohol allergy. Like, I'm not a person who stops at one. Right. Yeah. Cause what the fuck is the point? like that's where my brain goes. Right.
Yeah, no, I
like,
get that. I do.
And I suffer from depression and, you know, all those sorts of things. And so like, none of that is like an equation that helps anything. Like, it's a distraction. Right. And the distraction becomes the crutch, and you know, follow that domino trail. And, but goddamn, I kind of lost my train of thought there. Sorry.
You're fine.
I'm an addict. Oh, what I was going to say is that I also think that like, I have a consumption problem, right? Like, I'm a bigger guy. I love to eat. I'm not unhealthy, but like I do have like a tough time with restraint, like in like consumption of the things I enjoy. And so I'll eat a whole bag of chips. I'll drink a lot of drinks. I'll smoke a lot of weed, that's what I was like. And so it's like, if I didn't cut out alcohol and weed and this, like I still fucking struggle with sugar, what I mean? And I think part of that is because like, I would drink so much booze that's full of sugar too. Right. Yeah. So like my body doesn't know how to like compensate, but luckily sugar is just like not making me pass out on people's couches yet.
Right. Right.
But it is one of those things where it's like, sometimes it's more than just like a crutch. Sometimes it's like a crutch. And like, I just, ever since I was a kid, maybe I'm spilling too much, but like ever since I was a kid, like if we went to a restaurant, you get water or free refills. It's like, I would just drink all of it. Like the soda, everything. Cause it's just, they're going to keep filling it up. And it's like, it's there. I'm going to drink it.
Oh yeah. And it's interesting because you probably haven't had a chance to listen, but Kristen Doty released her episode recap today with her.
No, I haven't yet.
Well, I did. And
tell me about
so
it.
So she had Ryan Bailey on.
Okay.
So that's good with Ryan Bailey. And
still waiting on that email response, Ryan.
I was wondering if you guys were ever going to collab.
Still waiting. I followed up, brother.
He's famous.
The world is against Vanderpump Robs, and it's because I think it's a little too real for them. Anyway.
I think it is. So come out to the live show and see what you've been missing.
Yeah.
Anyway. They were podcasting, and of course, Kristen often, you know, doesn't dive in, but alludes to the allusions, alludes to the allegations that she's made about James and that have been inferred about him. Mm. And so they were kind of talking about that, but then they were talking about his quote unquote sobriety. And Kristen said, James has an addictive personality in that because Ryan was kind of trying to paint him as just being like a passionate guy who cares too much. And Kristen was like, well, it's more so that he is such an addict by nature that anything that he gets whatever rush from, whether that be a relationship, an endeavor, like a DJ set, alcohol, drugs, that is what fuels him. And when he doesn't have that, he just moves to the next thing, and he cannot be without something that is giving him that rush. And I think that's something to consider when we talk about how addiction manifests differently in everybody. Mm-hmm. I have tried substances in the past that I can very easily stop, and did. And then alcohol, I've kind of been on a weird journey with for several years, but then
and
it
that's
wasn't
fine. You know, I mean? I think that should be established that like not everyone who has a few times getting drunk or doing something like, I'm not saying this is you, but like having an embarrassing moment or anything, or like even blacking out more than once, that doesn't make you an alcoholic. Right. Like,
right.
Everyone's journey is different. And like, And I'm sorry I cut you off. With the James thing, and like, there's a lot that people talk about that we do have to also acknowledge. I think it would be wrong for us to like not acknowledge that like there's so much of this shit that we will not know ever.
Yeah.
But from what we do get, it leads us down these roads.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes like these like gossipy, juicy topics, but like, opens the door to important topics like this.
Yeah. You know? When you say that, do you mean like conversations, or are you talking about like drug use? Are you talking about more like the things that have been talked about with James, like, or all of it basically?
I just think like the general idea that like, look, I'm not going to try and be Mr. Virtue Signaler or anything like that.
Sure.
But like, I do believe women, right?
Right.
Like, I'm going to believe them 100% of the time.
Yeah.
But I also would love for information to be like, when it gets to me, it's usually through like five different, this person channels. Told this person, or it's like a gossip thing. And that's fine too. However, information gets out. I think in general, when we talk about these things, we do need to like, just keep, we don't need to. I just like to keep things in perspective that, I can only see what's presented to me on TV, and that is still raising a ton of questions.
Yeah. Like, so,
so like, if anything in the rumor mill even becomes true, that's like added on to what has made it through all of production too.
Yes. And that's, in my opinion, just like responsible viewing, responsible consumption of what we're being told. I agree. You've listened to my episodes. You know where I stand on it. I believe Kristen.
Yeah.
But I also try to really emphasize that I'm not a journalist. So that I have heard are also, if you've heard it through five channels, then I've heard it through 15, you know?
Yeah.
So, because you're like physically, you're closer to the scene than I am. But I think watching these shows, it does feel a little like we're being gaslit when we're being told, just with the drinking and drugs alone. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, no, these 40 somethings can, we, you can see them party, drink all day, take shots for 7 or 8 hours in a row, and then go out to a club and then be up the next day. And there's just nothing more to it. That's just how bodies work. Like, no, guys, there are other substances involved. I understand it. It makes sense. Like, logically, it makes sense that Bravo can't be like, oh, well, they were blowing down all night. You know, like, they can't say that. But then
they were hitting the slopes.
They were skiing. They whatever. But then you have moments like that all come together, like Tom Sandoval showing up to Nick Vial's podcast. And the whole thing is a fucking shit show. I'll never get over Nick Vial being on a fucking high horse, his douche ass. I'll never get over like Schwartz, just period dot, nothing more to say there. I'll never get over Sandoval. It's insane. Like, to be the stereotypical hungover and or recently drunk person coming in, crying emotion, like uncontrollable emotions, repeating your words, slurring, you've got sunglasses on, you're not making any sense, you're very easily aggravated. Like, these are all really telltale signs, but then to never even address it, like, what are we doing? And that's what Bravo, a lot of times, especially with these junior shows, Summer House, Southern Charm, sometimes Below Deck, so much is going on that they don't cop to.
Well, and I'm conflicted about Lala, but what I do stand firm with her is these people have to figure it out for themselves at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And no one was going to force me or tell me I had a problem and that I wasn't going to believe until I had to make the steps to do it myself.
Yep.
What I agree with is the encouragement. If a friend wants to encourage someone to seek help, they can only, you know, help them so much, but I feel like they should be able to do that. The problem on these shows is a lot of times we get people being critical rather than helpful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've said a lot of shit here that maybe I wouldn't say on Vanderpump Robs, not because I wouldn't want to, but just because it's not the subject matter.
Well, yeah.
That's fine. But like, tomorrow, I could feel 100% different about a bunch of stuff I said today, right? Probably won't, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I could pick up a drink, right? One day at a time, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like the thing is that I think when we boil this down to is everyone's journey is their own. There's no magic fix for anything. I hate that James's storyline has been like how much he's cleaned up his act. And we're 4 episodes in. Yeah. That could be table setting for James not cleaning up his act in the
it
next
has been
75%
every season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who knows? Who TF knows?
Hey.
I did, before we end, because I know we're getting to that point, I do want to point out something that isn't addict territory, but I just really want your opinion on.
Yeah, no, let's do it. Come on.
Okay. When they're at the pool party in season 11, episode 4, and Sheena's talking about the conversation Lisa brought up, and yes, I think Lisa has more than one reason for having this conversation with people, right?
Sure.
I'm definitely going to side that like she doesn't want them to have regrets. I get that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If something were to happen to Tom Sandoval after everyone's like, fuck this dude, there would be a little bit of like, oh damn.
Yeah.
Maybe we did go a little hard on this guy, right? Like, but does she also want, you know, to film a TV show? Sure. That 100%. Creeps in there.
Yeah.
When Sheena's expressing this to Ariana, one of her really good friends, and like the only thing we get from that episode, and I'm about to record my episode, so you're going to hear this twice, people, if you're listening to both pods.
As you should.
The only significant thing we get from Ariana in that episode is her like making fun of apologizing someone. Like, am I supposed to go on Instagram and be like, hey guys, I know my boy. Like, I hate that voice. Ariana does that voice a lot. And like, she's better than that in the sense that like, she's better at articulating herself. And like the way that she articulated to Schwartz in the previous episode about like, I'm done with you is so much better than what she's doing here.
Yeah.
And I think it's because she's still grieving, right? She's still getting through this. And Sheena's just trying to explain what Lisa said.
Yes.
And she, the edit we get is Ariana continuing to argue like why her way is better and Sandoval sucks. And it's like, no one's denying that Sandoval has acted like a trash bag, but like Sheena is conflicted because she has known Sandoval for so long. And I don't know about you. I've known some trash bags in my life that I have still like, I hate this phrase, but like extended grace towards and left the door open for. Yeah. And if they, you know, continue to fuck up, that's when I close it. But Sandoval has only done something this bad once.
Yeah.
And I think like you can feel that, oh, fuck. Yeah, I went in pretty hard and this guy is like not doing so hot. Whether or not that's true is another thing. But did you do you feel that like we're getting these like funky edits from Ariana where it's like, let's just throw in this thing so that the storyline can be like, oh, maybe Ariana is not as perfect as we think. Not that that's true, but they're trying to like paint that picture.
Yeah, actually, it was interesting because when I was watching that scene, first of all, first, when I was trying to watch it live, I had to turn it off. Because when we got to Lala and Sheena at Vanderpump's house, I was like, there's just something about this that is not sitting well with me. And I need to get a good night's rest before I watch this episode. And so I did. And when we were at that scene, I was having a hard time paying attention, but it really wasn't because I was bored. It was because I was uncomfortable. Uh-huh. And then I noticed when Sheena was giving, you know, I don't know, exposition, when she was explaining this, when it cut to Ariana, it was so out of place, but that voice, you know, that voice. And so I looked up and I'm like, what's this about again? Mm-hmm. And it felt like it didn't feel like the response, like she was responding to what Sheena was saying. And if she was, then that would be a very odd way to respond, because if I was putting that in context, that would make sense. Then Ariana would be saying, well, I don't give a fuck what Lisa Vanderpump wants. What does she want me to do? Does she want me to tell everybody to just be cool with him? I'm not in that place yet. But it feels like that wasn't what we saw or fully explained. And then, did you watch the after show?
I haven't yet.
So big piece of information that I think is important. And I know everybody's always like, oh, Sheena tries to make it about herself. But this was actually kind of important. Sheena apparently had a falling out with someone several years ago who she got in a fight with them, and she said something like, she texted them something like, well, I don't really know what the deal is, but you need to look at yourself and your choices if you want me to give a fuck, something like that. Mm-hmm. And that person ended up committing suicide. Oh, and so has a lot of personal, and honestly, because I know what people are going to do, because they want to, they'll find a way to be like, Sheena didn't even know that person. Sheena made that whole story up. Sheena lives on planet Mars, like, because that's what they do. Yeah. But even if she only knew this person tangentially, like saying that to someone and then they do that, it's gonna have, I don't give a fuck if that was like somebody I met for one day. Like, that would still affect me. But that's not what she's explaining. She's saying that this was a friend of hers. So that gives a lot of important context. And I'm like, I don't know. It's unclear. Like, Sheena doesn't say, oh, well, they didn't let me tell that story. So maybe she didn't express that on camera, but this is something that that Ariana knows, and that allegedly Katie, I guess, would know, but Ariana certainly does. And that gives a lot of context. And so again, it's like, what is happening with the storytelling and with the thing with Lala and Allie in the house talking about if they're going to talk about when James got sober, just to bring it back to sobriety, very I'm with you. I don't know if I'm on the right page with what you're saying, but very odd.
Yeah, very odd. I guess time will tell. And before I get out of here to record my show, I do want to say that, like, I am no expert, everyone.
Yep.
And like Emily said, we're not journalists.
No.
We can only speak from our own opinions. Yeah. So, like, please try to compartmentalize what I speak from my personal journey, what I'm theorizing about people, and what I think people should do as, like, separate stuff. It's not all because I'm sober. I think that I'm not pulling a Lala here.
No, not at all.
This has been great. This has been awesome.
Yes. I appreciate it. And I really appreciate you coming on. I wanted you on to talk about your perspective and your unique opinion, because we all have one. And I am not sober, so I can't really speak to sobriety the way that maybe you can. So you can
speak to this show. That's for sure.
Listen, if there's one thing I know, it's Vanderpump Rules. Okay. Thank you so much for coming on, Rob. Where can everybody find you? If you want to plug that live show one more time, please keep doing it. Are you there?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can now.
Okay. You froze for a quick hot second. So.
Oh, weird. Okay. I said, let the people know where they can find you, essentially.
All right. Well, the podcast is Vanderpump Rob's, available wherever you get your podcasts. The bonus content and the support for Vanderpump Rob's is at patreon.com/Vanderpump Rob's. And I'm actually running a hot new deal here, Emily. The first 5 new paid patrons get one of my fancy new shirts. So I will send it to you if you sign up for either the Pumptini or the Pasta tier. So that's a hell of a deal. I'm just putting it out there, folks.
Oh, yeah.
The shirts cost me way more than the Patreon costs you, and at least for up to 4 months.
I just want to add, Rob, that you have your Patreon guests and interviews. I was one of them once.
Oh, yes.
But a lot of these guests are actually people from other pieces of pop culture. And so they have a really fun perspective, and you have a lot of different voices on. And I really enjoy your Patreon episodes, and you have a lot of cool concepts. So not only is it worth it for the shirts, but just for the content itself, I have to say, very, very entertaining.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, Emily. And thanks for having me on. This is great.
No problem. You guys know where to find me at WhoTFKnows Emily Rose on Instagram, WTFK Emily Rose on Twitter. And you can follow my personal Instagram, Emily Agogo. Get the links for the live show. Learn all about my trip to LA with Lindsay. She will be on Saturday. I can't wait to see you guys. And I will talk to you guys later. Bye bye. Tell me what you want.